to. You are the Lord, that is your name. You will never share your glory with any man. You will never share your honor with anybody. Almighty God, that is your name. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Our God is faithful. He is a faithful God. He never fails. A couple of weeks ago, on a Saturday morning, I got a call from my baby sister. She was due to deliver a baby in the next few weeks. And she told me, sister, there's something wrong. And I said, what it is? What's going on? She said she had gone for ultrasound. And they told her, for lack of a better term, for everybody to understand, that there's a cyst in the baby's kidneys. And, for a moment, I just stood and I didn't know what to say. And being human, I didn't know what to tell her. I just said, well, God is in control. I hung up and I called my husband and I said, does that make sense? Does this even make sense to you? And she's had this pregnancy for over 8 months. And this last minute, we're hearing this. Medical terms, he kept saying stuff and it didn't make sense. I just knelt down and I prayed. And the next week I came to church, I remember I told Pastor Emmanuel and I told the wife and I told Rosemary and, we prayed and we believed God. And all I kept saying was, God, this baby is perfect. She's going to come out and when she does, she will be perfect. Nothing will be missing. And to the glory of God, my sister had a baby on Thursday. Amen. And she came out perfect. Amen. And she was born.
Hallelujah.
And she has nothing. There was nothing. To the glory of God.
Amen.
The one that makes all. The one that makes all.
Amen.
He made her whole. She came out perfect. To him that gives life. To him that makes perfect.
Amen.
To him to be all the glory.
Hallelujah.
To him receive our honor. Adoration, majesty.
Amen.
I cannot thank him enough.
Hallelujah.
Because he deserves all the praise.
Amen.
Glory to his name.
Hallelujah.
Honor to his name.
Hallelujah.
She is beautiful.
Amen.
She is beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We serve a mighty God.
Amen.
I just want to testify about the power in the blood of Jesus. I was just telling my husband this morning what happened. There was a day, I think I was driving, I don't know where I was driving to. So I had this terrible pain, shooting pain, from the back of my neck to my head. And immediately, I started bleeding the blood. I said, you know what, I can't tell anybody this. If I tell them, the next thing they'll tell me, go to the hospital. I'm not going anywhere. I started bleeding the blood. I kept on bleeding the blood. Do you know the pain left?
Amen.
And I was fine.
Amen.
You know, there's power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. The exhortation I have today is in line with all of this, but I'm going to just pinpoint one or two testimonies you have heard that has to do with faith. My sister's testimony that said a baby that the doctors are looking, you all know the medical doctor, I was talking to somebody, they only go by what they can test. They monitor this, they do that, and they compare specimen with what they have heard. This is the normal, this must be abnormal. That's how the doctors work. But whose report will you believe? They are doing their best. My son is in the medical line. Many of you are in the medical field. You have nurses, you have doctors. Even my sister's husband is a medical doctor. That's all they could do. They look at the image and say, well, they see something. Well, they saw something. It's almost like when you see the astronomers looking into the sky also. You may say, the medical world is even better than the astronomers. Astronomers, we look in the sky and they say, wow, there is a some 7 trillion light years away, you could see this and it's doing that. You say, how do they know? We are seeing through a glass darkly. And then they postulate all their theories on that. The same with the medical world, telling you that, well, we see something wrong, and then they want to cut it out. They want to do this, they want to do that. I say, why? But what does the Bible tell us? Faith. So my sister said she called one or two brethren and a pastor, and then they prayed. The Creator that knew, that could see better, that knew what they were even seeing may even be there, but the Creator can reverse it. And He has given us examples in the Bible that if we only say unto this mountain, any mountain, let's look at that, Mark chapter 11. If that is the faith I'm going to talk about today, I'll just give you few Bible verses. Mark chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a good example. Even when the doctors tell you that this is what they can see and this is what it will be, they might say, we tested this, it should be 40, but yours is 100, and you need to come down, or you have to go for this and that and that. But what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? Mark chapter 11, verse 22, which has to do with the Lord causing a fig tree. And the apostles were marveling. They said, well, this fig tree is beginning to wither away. I said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, there was a physical mountain he was pointing to make you see how gigantic this could be. Something that you may think is impossible. Mountain, but He made it so that you may believe that God can do all things. It depends on whether you can believe. Also depends whether you can hold on to that, your faith. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Well, let's analyze that simple statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said you have to believe that what you say shall come to pass. And then don't doubt in your mind. Don't doubt in your heart. Don't plant a seed and 2 days later go into uprooting and say, is it germinating yet? Because that is where many of us make a mistake. He said, just say it and leave it there. And the devil may try to whisper something. Just tell the devil, it is done. Because God said so. And the Lord that is working with you is watching. He's watching you to see that you hang in their farm. So what the Lord is saying, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, so that our sister, you see, they prayed and they say, this baby shall come out perfect. And it was so, because the Lord that created that baby, and when you pray, you have touched the Lord. What does the Lord require of you for Him to answer your prayer? What does He require? Number one, you just have to know Him. And you already say you know Him. Because Christ said this, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So now you can say, well, I believe and I am baptized. So you shall be saved. Then he went further in Mark chapter 16. So I said, what do you need to do? What do you have to become? What do you have to be to be able to qualify for Him answering you? He said, and verse 17, Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and these signs shall follow who? Them that believe it. So I'm just putting those two Bible verses together to make you know that you have this faith. You, as an individual, you have this faith. Like He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain and shall believe in his heart, and then you say, well, maybe the Lord will not hear me. Why will He not hear you? He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So which means you can say you are a believer. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, we are just reading, these signs shall follow them, everybody that believe. And those are the signs. he listed all the signs. The last part of it, he said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So that includes you can lay hand upon the sick and he shall recover. Those are all, it's as simple as that. As simple as I've just described it to you. You may say, well, there must be something more. When you make it so complicated, that is when it becomes complicated. It's as simple as that. Do I believe? Yes. Am I a believer? Yes. Who are these promises for? These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, yours, well, Judas, don't you remember Jesus Christ said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Are you abiding in him? If you are not abiding in him, then abide in Christ. What does that mean to abide in him? Obey his word. My word abide in you. So that is your life. Then should be what? Live searching the Bible, what is acceptable to the Lord. Just live your life. Search the Bible daily, what is acceptable to the Lord. And then do what is acceptable to the Lord. That's how you abide in him. You say, everybody know what is acceptable. All the big sins, you know them, don't do those. And that is what he delivers you from. Or what about those you don't really know? Leave that to him. Oh, somebody, don't put yourself on guilty conscience. Some people will say, oh, as you walk about, you are stepping on ants, you are sinners. God is not worried about that. God is taking care of those ants. Don't worry about the ants that you cannot see. The one you know that is a sin, forsake those. Oh yeah, you get offended, you get angry, you don't forgive. Yeah, deal with those. Deal with those, because these are scriptures. Forgive. That is how you abide in Christ. Then you are a believer, because you are living your life, searching what is acceptable to the Lord and doing them. Then you can ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Amen? Are you getting me? You say, well, is it that simple? It's that simple. Then ask in prayer, especially when it concerns you. Ask for yourself in prayer and believe God. And he said, just say it. Yeah, just say it and leave it back. I'll give you a dream one time. Just how the Lord taught me one of these things. Many years when I was still learning these things, the Lord showed to me in a vision, I was in this group of people and somebody was challenging God or challenging me in that vision. And I said, Before I leave this room, they will carry you out as a punishment for that man in that dream. And I was going out and I was about to get to the door. I looked back, they have not carried this man out. The Lord said, you just go out first. That is how he's teaching me. He told me, you just go out first and see whether they will carry him out. And I was about to open the door like that, sister about to open the door, the man screamed and they have to carry him out. But see, what I'm trying to tell you is, I was trying to check it out when I was about to get to the door, looking back whether they have carried him out. And that's why the Lord says, it's as simple as what he has said. Just believe, just speak it, and don't even consider it anymore. Just go your way. Because God that is going to answer is watching to see that you maintain your faith, you maintain what you said, and God will make it happen. Like that tree that he caused. When he caused that fig tree, he went his way. And the second day, he wanted the apostles to see, to teach us faith. That was why he went by that tree, not to check it out. And when Peter saw the tree, he called the master and said, look. And then he taught us that faith in Mark chapter 11. So remember, it's as simple as say what you want, as long as you are a believer in Christ. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Let me give you one more thing. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I will talk about the faith of Moses really quick. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said, from verse 1, it said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he went to verse 23. See, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, verse 24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What is the importance of that? Identify yourself with Jesus. Identify yourself with Jesus. Many times, a lot of people are ashamed to identify themselves as a believer. Because I just gave you some things. If you say unto this mountain, okay. These signs are following them that believe, okay. So you said, I'm a believer. Now comes the time of a test. Like Moses, he believed, he was living in the palace. Now he saw these Hebrews were being suffering because they were Hebrews, they were slaves. And he knew because his mother told him he was one of them. So you have to choose, identify yourself with this God of these Hebrews, or stay in the palace of the Pharaohs, where they have adopted you as their son. He identified himself with the sin, with the slaves. So what we call faith here is identifying yourself with the God that you say you believe in. When the question comes, are you a believer? And all your friends are dressed in all this suit and they are going to parties and so on. Are you a believer? You're going to say, no, I belong to these rugged believers that are going to live for Christ. Or you want to go with the go-go lifestyle. Which lifestyle are you choosing? That is what it means. Are you identifying yourself with Christ and his cross crucified? When you identify yourself with Jesus like Moses, ready to suffer affliction with those that are identifying themselves with Christ. Take, for example, some group of people who are in the mall praising the Lord, giving out tracts. They are Christians, they are preaching the gospel, and people are mocking them, laughing at them. And you came by, you see your friends among those that are laughing at them. They are your schoolmates, your college co-workers. They are laughing at all these Jesus freaks, and they are even saying it out. And these people, they don't mind. They are 4 or 5 of them. They are minority. Are you going to stand with your friends as if you don't know these guys, or I don't even believe what they believe? Or you are going to identify yourself with them? That is what it means to identify yourself with Jesus. Because that is where your power is. The devil knows those who are Christ's. The devil knows those that are not his own. An example in the Bible, in the Acts of the Apostles, this, what you call, they call them the sons of Sceva. They were Jews, of course, but they don't believe, but they saw Apostle Paul preaching about. And they thought that must be a magical name, this name, Jesus, maybe it's a magical name. But they didn't believe, but they wanted to test it out. And they went to a demon-possessed person. They wanted to cast that demon out, and they said, it's the way we adjure you by that Jesus whom Apostle Paul was preaching. And that demon looked at them and said, I know Jesus. I even know Apostle Paul. Who are you guys? They were dumbfounded. And that devil jumped at them and tore their clothes. Have you identified yourself with Jesus? That is how you do that. When you come in the midst of believers and they are laughing at them, they are mocking them in your school, they are mocking them in the mall, they are mocking them in your office place, and you stand up and say, I'm one of them. You can laugh as much as you want. Or are you going to hide as if you are not one of them? Identify yourself. That is what you see in the faith of Moses that was pointed out right here. Identify yourself with Jesus. That is the only way the Lord will stand for you. When you say, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, we ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Or if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and he will do it for you, because you have been identified with Jesus. Satan will recognize those who have identified with Jesus. Satan knows them. And the Lord also said, I know they that are my own, not so. So it is identifying yourself with Jesus. Very, very important. Amen? So when we are talking about faith, faith will do wonders, like our sister gave the testimony. The Lord will do it for us. He will do it for you when you ask him in prayer. Whatever you ask, he says, just put it in his hand and let it go. And the Lord will watch you for his word to perform it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Identify yourself with Jesus. And then the other thing is, be ready to confess what you believe. These are different stages, different things when it comes to faith. Different stages. I call it different bullets. So when you pray and look as if it does not happen, check some of those bullets. Maybe it is me, I've been denying Christ, claiming to be a believer, or I have some not walking, abiding in him, like not forgiving somebody. Very important. We have given this testimony over and over again before, and it's worth repeating. And I want all of you to pay attention to this, because this is perhaps the most important part. In that Mark chapter 11 that I started with, where the Lord said, if any of you shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. That in verse 24, he said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Verse 25 is the key. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. I said that is the key for everything we are talking about. And I'm going to give you one or two examples where that has been an hindrance. So I want you to check your life now. Check your life, especially you that are having any issue. Whatever is your issue. Maybe it's recurring. This thing is recurring. And you don't know why you have not gotten victory over these things. Check your heart, your life, your background, your family issue. Do you have anybody you have against that has offended you 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 years ago? And you say, well, I've forgiven him, but when you remember that thing, you still, it hurts you. Anytime you remember it, that means you have not forgiven. Anytime you remember that thing, it still pains you. Your spirit is cursing in your spirit. That means you have not forgiven. Then you better repent of it and put it in the hand of the Lord, because those are the hindrances. There was a testimony of a woman that was maybe a pastor or a wife of a pastor. She had a daughter that was bedridden for several years. And many evangelists have come to town, they have prayed for this daughter, and she was still bedridden. And it was Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr., whose pastor, that gave this testimony. He went to that town and prayed, preached for them, and then in that place he stayed with the pastor's family. And the woman brought this same case to him and said, Pastor, our daughter has been bedridden for several years. Many have prayed for her. Maybe he can add his prayer. And the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin. What has been hindering the prayer? That woman has an unforgiving spirit. She had problem, issue with her mother-in-law for many years that she has not let go. She has to let that go for God to walk on your behalf. That is why I'm bringing this to you again. When he say, when you have aught against any, forgive. So I want you to check your life. Many of us have had people that we have prayed for, even among us. Prayed for, and he's still like that. She's still like that. Or will share. On that cases. Check your life. It may be It may be, let me tell you this, it may be. Now, let me bring this one home before the Lord begin to say anything else. Remember the story I just told you about this son that Kenneth Hagin put in his book. The little daughter was bedridden. Who was the cause of it? Who was the cause of it? The mother. You would have said, well, it's the mother that has unforgiving spirit. She should be the one bedridden. But what did you see in that story? It was our daughter that was bedridden. Think about that. Suppose you have a mother that is afflicted, and a daughter that has been grown up daughter has somebody that has not, she has not forgiven, and she came to be Christian. She has not forgiven this case and that situation for years. But she is responsible for her own mother or her own daughter because of financial responsibility. God can put, allow the trouble upon the mother or the daughter so that this fellow is just wasting our money. God is pointing something out to us. You may say, oh Jesus, we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for this thing. Why is it not happening? Check your heart. Check your life. Have you any unforgiving spirit? Because when you pray, when you say unto this mountain, you are telling God to do something. You are asking him, the big God, to do something for you. He is asking you that before he can do that something for you, you forgive, do this for me. He said, you did this for me and I will do that for you. One of the things God said we should do for him is, hold no grudges because I am the Lord. He pointed out in the Bible, hold no grudges because I am the Lord. Because when you hold grudges, let me give you why this is, why he's linking grudges, unforgiveness to his power working for you. The reason is very clear. Most everything that is happening in this world, God is using it. He even using the wicked for his own glory. Which means, this fellow that may hurt you, it may be that God is using that fellow to bring you to a position where you can cry unto him. That has been detailed in the story of Joseph in the Bible, for example. His big brothers were so hateful of him that they wanted to kill him. And they sold him into slavery. And he went through so many troubles, you know that. But you see, God was using those people to bring Joseph out of his father's house into Pharaoh's backyard for him to become prime minister. So you can say it was the finger of God making those people be wicked and bad to do that. So most evil things that are happening, that's why the Bible said, all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord. So that fellow you refuse to forgive will be the reason why God is not going to answer your prayer. Why? Because God used that fellow that you refuse to forgive to bring you perhaps to him. And if you don't forgive that fellow, you are not forgiving God and use him. And how do you want God to answer your prayers then? So that is why God is saying, when you start to pray, forgive. If you have off, small or big, against anybody. Are you getting me? Amen?
Yes.
Are you getting me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Especially we that are seniors, think deep back into the years when anybody has hurt you in the family line, your mothers, your father, your half-brother, half-sister, half, because we are always, most of us raised in Africa. It's always like this man wanted to kill the daughter of that man and everybody is afraid and they hate one another. Especially from the polygamous family. You better know how to forgive and say, this is not that man or that woman that is doing these things. It is the devil doing it. So, not that man. It's the devil trying to use them. So, you forgive the man. Take your battle with Satan and the devil and not with the man and the woman that the devil is using. So, that's why you need to search your heart and forgive everybody so that your heart is clear and clean. Then you can ask whatever. What we say here, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. They are all depending on the fact that you have all these things taken care of, abiding in his word. Amen?
Amen.
If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That is all I'm going to give you today. Now, if you want prayer for that particular part of it, I really need deliverance from that unforgiving spirit. That unforgiving, there is somebody in your heart, in your household, in your life. You have been struggling. Each time you remember it, it's like a cancer. You want to get it off of you so that your prayers can be answered, so that you can have effective prayer. I will want to minister to you. If you have anything in your heart that you can remember, look back years and ask the Lord to remove it from you right now, and we're going to prayer. Let's go into prayer. It could be your spouse, your ex-spouse, because many people went into divorce through violent divorce, hatred. For years, they couldn't get rid of it. Anytime they remember that woman or that man went and married another person, they have hate in their heart. And yet, they want the Lord to be answering their prayers. So you need to bring it to the Lord. Say, Lord, take this anger, hatred from me. Or whatever business deals that has caused pain in your life, you want to bring it to the Lord. Lord, take this from my spirit so that I can be pure and be able to say, if I ask anything in your name, you will answer me. You have to pray for yourself. And if you need deliverance, come forward and I will pray for you. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Because the Lord is listening. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. You asked me to talk about testimonies, to talk about faith, and that is it. We talk about faith, Lord. But what hinders our faith? All these little foxes that spoil the vine. You see, faith works by love. But we think we have love, but we have some bitterness somewhere to somebody else. That love is not complete. So help us, Lord God, to have those bitterness uprooted from us. Whoever has offended us, even in the ministry, somebody that preached against you, somebody that spoke about your writing, somebody that did something or even pointed to you that you are this, you are that, you are not this, you are not that, and it causes some hurt, take it out of us, Lord Jesus. Help us to forgive from our heart. I remember those times, Lord, where somebody was confronting one another. That fellow tried to bring me out of this church, to this church, and it became like enmity. It may look like we have forgiven the man, but search your heart. Have I really forgiven that confrontation? And Lord, deal with our heart, Lord. Take all this bitterness out of us so that we can be free, and then our prayer will be effective. The one that pointed out and said, this man is too proud. This man that said, look at what he wrote in his magazine. And it became like enmity. Father, we will forgive, Lord. Help us to remove it from our soul so that it will not be any hindrance to us anymore. Somebody that you have quarreled with in your business, that wanted to take over your business, and it looked like it had been paining you, you have spent too much money. Maybe your spirit has cost. You want to ask the Lord to forgive you of that. To love this fellow so that the Lord can deliver your soul, your spirit from that unforgiving spirit. Anytime you remember that fellow, anytime you see the fellow, does it bring back that hurt, like a wound that is open? That means you have not forgiven. Ask the Lord to take that wound, to heal it completely, and take that hurt away from you so that you have no more unforgiving spirit, because this is the cleansing of our house so that the Lord can dwell in it. So Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Let your name, Lord, be glorified. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, in this. You say we are hearting vessels, and you are going to put this power in hearting vessels. But you still want these hearting vessels to be pure and purified so that you can use them. Help us, Lord God, to be pure and purified so that you can use us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. I am delivered. That's all the end of the sermon. You are going to prepare your offering. I am delivered. The praise team can come back. Praise the Lord.
I am delivered by his word.